Welcome to another episode of the Detox Podcast, a culture and conversation podcast where you can detox from the world around you and get a window into how other people live their lives. Come detox with Detox. I'm your host, Joe Shaw, and on today's episode, we have the fabulous and wonderful Kate T. Parker speaking about her latest photography book, Force of Nature, a celebration of girls and women raising their voices. Kate is fantastic. We have a wonderful and brilliant conversation about girls and women using their voices, about how we are amazed at the younger generation and the lack of hesitation in using their voices, and how we can continue to learn lessons even at an older age, so that way we can become a better version of ourselves and use it to help parent the next generation of leaders. But before we get into that, I want to let you know a little bit about Kate Parker. So Kate is a mother, wife, former collegiate soccer player, Ironman, and professional photographer who shoots both fine arts projects and commercial work for clients across North America. Her Strong as the New Pretty photo series has led to collaborations with brands like Athleta, Kellogg's, Oxygen, and Girls on the Run. The project has also inspired Kate to launch a philanthropic arm of Strong as the New Pretty, partnering with organizations that invest in girls' health and education. When she's not photographing, or photographing, as it were, she can be found coaching her daughter's soccer teams. She lives with her family in Atlanta, Georgia. And about Force of Nature, a celebration of girls and women raising their voices. In this book, Parker focuses her lens on women and girls being strong, yes, but also being loud and refusing to be pushed aside. She shares 150 stunning portraits of mothers, daughters, sisters, nurses, coaches, and classmates from all over the country who find, use, and amplify their voices for themselves and the causes they're passionate about. The images capture some of the myriad ways to make oneself heard by helping those in need, advocating for oneself, calling out injustice, and working to change it. So you can get this book anywhere you get books, anywhere that is convenient for you. And before we get to the conversation with Kate, I do need to let you know that today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Empire Toys. Nostalgia is something everyone loves, and Empire Toys in Keller, Texas is on nostalgia overload. With toys and action figures from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today, Empire Toys is a one-stop shop for a trip down memory lane and a chance to reclaim what was once yours, but likely sold at a garage sale. Check out Empire Toys on Facebook, Instagram, or at theempiretoys.com. And by Self Unbound, your quality of life, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, is a direct reflection of the level of abundant energy, ease, and connection your nervous system has to experience your life. At Self Unbound, your nervous system takes center stage as we help unbind your limited healing potential through network spinal care. Access the first steps to your unbound journey by following us on Facebook, Instagram, or at www.selfunbound.com. Now, without further ado, my episode with Kate T. Parker is right up after this. Welcome back to the Detox Podcast. With me at this time, I'm incredibly excited to have her on the show. She's a photographer extraordinaire, and we're going to be talking about her latest release, Force of Nature, here in a moment. But Kate T. Parker. Kate, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. It's good to see you.
It is great to see you as well. We were talking a little bit before we started recording, because you and I were originally going to record at one point in time, and then I had something come up and we had to shift. And I'm very appreciative of your flexibility, and I appreciate the additional time I've been able to have to do some reflection, because the book Force of Nature is a mm-hmm. force of nature, right? And it talks about the incredible force of women and girls, and you get to see all kinds of different perspectives and lived experiences within the book. And I've been going through a lot of different personal changes, I would say, on more of a smaller scale, but it's allowed me the opportunity to have a better perspective, I think, as I was going through and preparing for our interview. So I'll get to those questions here in a moment. But here at the Detox Podcast, if you're new, I invite listeners to quote-unquote detox from the world around them, kick back, relax, get a window into how other people live their lives. And so I like to ask all my guests right at the top of the show, Kate, I'll ask you, what are you currently, and I'm using air quotes here, detoxing from?
Oh, wow. I would say, so for me, honestly, launching a book is really difficult. And not in terms of, it's not that I don't enjoy, I really actually love talking about it. I love promoting it. What I don't love is my expectation of the hope of how it's doing. Is it selling? Am I like making the publisher happy? Is all of those expectations of like, how, you know, I don't know. For me, it takes away of like the pleasure and the honor of like creating the book. Like I really struggle. And it's funny because it's not, when I talk to my friends and stuff about it, I feel like it's like a confusion of like, I'm not complaining about doing the things. I don't mind doing the work. I really love talking about the book, but it's like, well, what does that mean for the book? Is it sound like all of this extra stuff that I really don't have a lot of control over, but it makes me feel terrible. You know, like, I hate that part of it so much. And I think people sometimes think you're like being ungrateful but for me, it's not that at all. It's just like, no, it's just like, should I check the Amazon number after? Yeah. And I just, oh, I, and I just, I'm not good at that part of this job at all.
I completely, completely empathize with that. I think for me, and I'll even, you know, speak, you know, on a little bit of a more, I would say, smaller scale relative to Force of Nature, this particular show, right? I started it for a very specific reason. And whenever I get to have fantastic conversations like we're about to have, it inspires me and fills me up. And I get messages from people about how much it meant to them. And it was exactly what they needed at that particular moment in time. And then I start going, oh, should I check the numbers? Oh, should I check and see where it's at? Should I check? And then I start to, and then I also feel terrible. I'm like, oh no, does this mean it's a quote unquote failure? Does this mean it's failing? Does this mean it's not resonating as it could? And then I start running like, well, what should I do more? What should I do different? Should I do this or should I do that? And I'm like, I have to call a time out on myself and say, "What? Why did I start this? What is the purpose of creating this art, right?
Yeah.
And how is it inspiring people?" And so when we look at Force of Nature and look at how much of an impact it's having on people, that's the ability to stay centered as to the core messaging. And of course, we also want it to do well, and we want it to be, you know, getting to more people because and I think to your point, it's not being ungrateful. It's the more people that get the message, the better the message is able to be delivered, right?
Yeah. And like for me, just remembering the joy and the honor that it is to share these stories and like that it impacts one person is amazing. But it's funny. It gets lost and mired in this like insecurity and all that, you know. Like all this terror, like the worst part of myself comes out when I have a book.
No, I hear you.
And I feel like the best part of myself is when I make the books, and then it just like turns into this like insecure monster when it comes out.
I appreciate you sharing that. I think I am so on the inverse of that. So I would say, or not the inverse, but I would say from my perspective, as far as what I'm detoxing from, it's similarly to, I would say, unrealistic expectations I'm putting on myself with, as it relates to how art should be consumed. And it's similar to what we were talking about in that I feel very much of, I think I need to be, and you know, look, I'm not someone, I'll say it this way. And Kate, you're catching me at a great moment in time where it is kind of a very vulnerable spot for me. And it's, I am not someone that I like to be loud and funny and have fun and share my voice. And I don't like to talk about me. I know I'm talking about me in this moment, but it's to prove a point of I like to create a space where people like yourself can talk about their incredible work and how it can help people. And I like to drive the conversation. And so I feel like when I get in the insecure space like you're talking about, it's very much like, well, should I be filming myself? Should I be talking about like why you should listen to myself? I'm like, I can't. So I'm like, all right, what are other things that I can do that can elevate the message but keep it, you know, guest centric or book centric or, you know, not on me. And that's what I'm currently trying to detox from is unrealistic expectations, because I am not a using air quotes again, influencer. I am somebody that likes to have a conversation and create a space for conversation to thrive.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It is funny. I feel very similar when I'm doing the promotion for the book. I'm like, well, the way I make it okay is that I'm like, well, it's not about me. It's about these girls' stories there that I'm sharing. And that I will talk about all day long.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I want us to get into the book. But before we do that, I would love for you to take us back and have you start telling me about your first forays into photography and what led you to start capturing or have the idea of capturing the voices in both Force of Nature and then your first book as well.
Sure. I really picked up a camera when I had my first daughter who is about to be 19. And I had stopped working full time. And I was home with both of my girls who my second daughter came a couple years later. And I was absolutely in search of like something that was not, and it's so funny. I wanted like a creative outlet for me that was separate from being a mom. But then I was like, well, I'm going to be a photographer. I'm going to take pictures of my girls. And then I was like, I can be a family photographer, which is what I did. I did it way before I was skilled enough or had any idea what I was doing, but I was like, I was so excited about it. But I was like, I really wanted this narrow focus of like the photographs that I was taking of my girls was mostly like not posed. They were emotional and silly and dirty and their hair wasn't brushed. And it wasn't like this picture perfect view that I would see a lot of times of, especially of little girls. And So I just really wanted to show, I didn't feel like my girls were that, like these, you know, perfectly well-behaved angelic little creatures. They were forces of nature. They were like, it's funny, my youngest daughter is on the cover of Force of Nature. And so I really wanted to show that side of girls and celebrate that side of girls and let them know that, you know, in the way that I could, by taking photos of it to let them know that it was beautiful, it was worthy and something to be celebrated. And so I did that for a number of years, probably like 5 years. And then I was asked to be part of a gallery show here. I live in Atlanta and I was asked to be part of a gallery show in Atlanta, which was like such a huge deal for me. And I pulled my best images from those years. And like I printed them all and framed them all. That's your job as the photographer. And it was expensive, but you're going to hopefully sell some images, you know, to offset this cost. And not a single image at the gallery sold. Wow. And so I was like, okay, I'm terrible. I'm devastated. You know, I'm devastated. And, but then I was just like, you know what, maybe nobody wants this hanging in their house because it's like, it's not their child. Maybe I just sort of like tried to redirect because I was devastated. Then I got angry. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to send these out to, I sent the images with a little blurb about what they were about to a bunch of blogs that I followed. And nobody ran it. I mean, I sent it everywhere. I was like CNN, the Today Show, New York Times, all these places, nobody responded to anything. And then, one blog ran the story about these girls, you know, like this, it was, and it turned into Strongest New Pretty, which was my first book, but one blog ran it and then another one did. And then it sort of like snowballed. And then all those places that I had emailed reached back out and the attention from that project, cause it kind of ended up everywhere. It was, you know, it ended up on CNN, the Today Show and all these places. And then I had an opportunity, a publisher reached out and then a book agent reached out and said, would you like to do a book about this? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's like such a better idea than selling a photo at an art gallery. Right. Like you can give it to girls and it's accessible. You can give it to your girlfriend. Like, so I was, and also I really was excited about the chance to expand it because it's literally only my girls and their friends. Sure. So that's what the project was at that point, but that's a very narrow definition of strength.
Right.
And there was no diversity in the project at that point. So I really took another year and went around the country, and I shot tons of girls, showing all kinds of girls, all kinds of strength. And my first book came out, I think it's like 7 years ago now, called Strong's New Pretty, which was, again, like I was again at the same place I am now. I was like, I don't know anything about book publishing. Like, it was just very, it was kind of overwhelming and scary. And, but again, it was like this amazing opportunity to like celebrate these girls and show, like, kind of make a book that I would have liked when I was a kid, wanted my girls to read. And so, it was a very cool, it was a very cool experience.
I just looked it up. So it came out in 2017. And it's interesting to me. And so we're recording this on April 9th. Mm-hmm. The prior day, April 8th, was a big solar eclipse. And I promise there's a point here, right? So in 2017 was kind of the last time that we in the United States got pretty, you know, I would say really into the solar eclipse. That was the last kind of real big one with totality in certain spots of the United States. And mm-hmm. I was asked to journal yesterday, right? I was in a space where the facilitator of a meeting asked us to journal for 5 minutes. And I'm somebody that often can't kind of keep my mind under wraps. I'm like, I'm always thinking about a bunch of different things, but time boxing the journaling, because usually I'm like, I'm going to journal for a wide variety of time and it never works out. But time mm-hmm. boxing in 5 minutes, what are you excited about? That was the prompt.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'll write about the solar eclipse. I'm in Texas. We're going to see totality today. And we did. And it was awesome. And that's for another time. Mm-hmm. But I wrote about that. But as I was writing, I realized something, that so much of my personal growth and my family's growth happened in the time between 2017 and 2024. My son had just been born, and now he's 6 and a half, right? Almost 7. And mm-hmm. I spent less time talking about the eclipse and more time talking about how much there's been from like a growth perspective in that time. So when I look at your book that came out in 2017 and look at the book in 2024, and you're talking to me about, you know, all mm-hmm. these people were not wanting to run this or not wanting to run that and whatever. And then it caught and people mm-hmm. started seeing the value, and then they put out the book, Strongest New Pretty. And now we've got Force of Nature. So much has happened, right, in those two in between times, that there was a spot where, you know, people maybe didn't see themselves represented in a book, in these mm-hmm. two books, but now they've got at least these two incredible books where they can mm-hmm. see themselves represented and understand they are a force of nature, and mm-hmm. their strength is their pretty, right? That didn't mm-hmm. exist in that time before. So framing it in that perspective, what has been your perspective in the time since the book came out, the first book came out in 2017, and the shift to Force of Nature here releasing in 2024.
Oh, wow. I feel like so much has changed in those times. Like, and just the way I feel like Strong as the New Pretty, that first book in 2017, was like, not groundbreaking, but it wasn't something that we were constantly telling our girls, you know, that it was more of an anomaly, I would say. And now it's just like, it's just so much part of, which I love so much. Yes. It's so much part of like the culture. And of course, strong is beautiful. Of course, you know, of course you should, you know, use your voice. And, just think of all like the changes in like, just even the NCAA women's basketball tournament, like that was not a thing even in 2017.
Right.
It was, yes, it was a thing, but it wasn't surpassing like the men's numbers and all this amazing stuff. And I just am so, it just makes me so hopeful for, you know, our next generation of girls who don't feel less than, or that they don't deserve things, or that they need to be quiet. Like, I just think it's the strides that we have made have been really quick and much needed. And I don't know, I'm just proud of the changes that have happened in a short amount of time.
Right. Well, and this is also, let's not forget, you know, post Me Too movement, post a lot of cultural shifts, right? So, and one of the things that we had as a discussion amongst our society at the time is the fact that these lessons about being quiet and not having agency over your own body and your own space start young. So then to have a book, right, like Strong as New Pretty or Force of Nature, where so many young girls are talking about why it's important that they use their voice and how it's not even something they think about. They just do it. It's so ingrained. Like, that didn't exist just a generation ago, right? And now yeah. you mentioned, it's baked into the conversations that we're having.
For sure. Yeah. And it's funny, some of the stories in Force of Nature are, I'm just so like in awe of these young girls. Yes. There's this one girl, Lindsay, who along with three of her girlfriends, and it, as a junior in high school, the Title IX had changed under the Trump administration title, and it lessened the protections against the girls, against sexual harassers in their school. It made it easier for like anybody that had been sexually harassing girls to like stay in school. And they were understandably upset about it. That totally resonated with me. I was like, yes, I would have felt upset. That would not be cool. The click that I hope happens with people that read these books or read this book is that Lindsay didn't just sit with it and talk to her friends about it. Lindsay hired a lawyer and sued the U.S. government to get the law changed back. Right. So like, I'm just like, I would not know that that is a possibility to do as a 47-year-old woman. Right. Like, right. I just am so impressed with, and I, it doesn't have to be like that large of a thing, but to know that recognition, if something isn't right or doesn't feel right, that you have the power through your voice to change it is really what I'm hoping that like kind of that takeaway is.
Yeah.
Because it changed me, like hearing these stories of like the courage it took and the sacrifices that people made and that moment when you decide to take action and make that change, as opposed to like, this is okay, I have to live with this, I have to accept this. No, we don't.
No. I think the further we go along as far as Gen Z entering the workforce and then Generation Alpha continuing to develop through school and then whatever the next generation comes after that, right? We're starting to realize as a society, most things don't have to be that way because that's the way they are, right? I think we're starting to challenge what has come before and say, well, why not? There's a beautiful story in here from, I forget her name, I didn't bookmark it, who's a scout. And she talks about how it's not Boy Scouts anymore since they let girls in, it's scouts, and why she wanted to be in scouts and all of the things that she learned about the essentials to take on any trip and the things she's learned about camping and the things she's learned about nature and the different things, and that her scout troop is all girls, right?
Right.
And how powerful and empowering that is. That's something where forever, if a girl wanted to express interest in scouts, you'd be like, sure, there's Girl Scouts. And you have your Girl Scouts, you have your Boy Scouts. It's like, well, what if I wanted to do this one over here with the tan uniform, right? You know, can I do that one? And it's like, no, you can't. And it's like, well, we're challenging it. Like, why? Right. Why does that have to be that way, right? And so then we're getting such wonderful concepts. My daughter, and who I'm going to mention later, we're in the midst of baseball season. And it's we're in Texas. The Texas Rangers won the World Series last year, and it sparked a lot of interest in young kids who wanted to play baseball. So my son is playing T-ball. My daughter's playing baseball. They both want to play baseball. I'm head coaching my daughter's team, and I've coached a lot of sports. I've never coached baseball before, but I said, let's give it a go, and here we are. And she's at the age where they're allowed to do baseball or softball. It's their choice.
Okay.
And we said, what do you want to do? And she said, I don't even know softball. Why would I want to play softball? I've seen baseball. I want to play baseball. And we said, you got it. Just so you know, you might be the only girl because people tell girls that you can only play softball, but you can play whatever you want, right? And she's like, that's why can't I not play baseball, right? And so we have this discussion. Yeah. It's like, no, we're saying you can. We're also saying some people say no, and that's not okay. And she's like, well, that's ridiculous. I'm going to become awesome and I'm going to play for the Texas Rangers. And here we go. And
I love it.
Right. But she just like didn't question. She's just like, that's stupid. Why is it that way?
Right.
I want to play this.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go do this and be like, yeah, you are. Right.
Yeah. Like, she's like, I don't see softball on TV. Like, right. I want to play this game that I watched with you that everybody loved.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so much. Yeah. It is funny. It's like, she doesn't have like, 40 years of being ingrained to be like, no, 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 that's not okay. She's like, no, that's stupid. And you're
right.
Like, yeah, right, it is stupid.
Yeah. I want to pull some verbatims from the book, but before I do that, I want to ask you more of a tactical question. I would say, when you're interviewing the different girls and women for the book, how are you getting the, like, what prompts do you give them to get the verbatims that end up in the book?
It's funny. This is my fifth book, and this is the first time that I've, like, I feel like I got it down. I used to send emails to the girls and ask them to fill out forms with sort of predetermined questions. And it was good, but it was a lot of back and forth of like trying to pull something from them that felt like what it felt like when I was talking to them when I was shooting them. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do an interview. I would just do an interview and I would voice record on my phone. Yep. That way I could ask, after we shoot, cause like you don't want, I've learned the hard way that like shooting while talking is just like, you got a lot of pictures with your mouth half open and it doesn't look great.
Yeah.
So, after each shoot, I would, just sit down and record an interview with the girls and then we'd transcribe it. And I could like push on this, ask this, or like reference something that I, you know, that they said in passing that was like interesting. And then once I would transcribe it, you know, I would just pull, it was helpful. I would just pull quotes from here and then we'd kind of put it together and then send it to the girls and say, does this feel accurate? Like it would be their quotes, but maybe it would be sort of like Frankenstein a little bit. So, I was really like, I was like, this saved me so much time. I got much better quotes. So it was, that was a really, good development for this last book, I feel like.
That's good. That's good. I agree. It seems like, I would also say if you're asking the questions as you're shooting, not only do you get photos with mouth open, but I guess at voice recorder, you get like, what about this? Tell me about this. Click, 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 click,
yes.
Click, click, click.
Yeah. It's funny because like the transcription service would be like inaudible, like camera sound.
I like it. Sometimes I get transcriptions and it says inaudible and I'm just talking and I feel like that's a little rude, but that's fine. No. All right. Let me dig into into the book because there's a couple things that that really moved me and I want to click down on it and I want to make sure I'm starting with the right one that I had pulled. So I want to start by saying, I think when we talk about a lot of, let me frame it this way. I think one of the things that we're hoping to fix as far as parenting style, and I'm speaking for myself, is not ingraining learned behavior and lessons that you were taught growing up, right? About your self-worth, your perspective, what you can and what you can't do. And that's part of the messaging. And I know the messaging is intentionally designed for girls and women, but I tell you, I got a lot of my own personal growth and development through reading it. And I'm on a personal journey where I, even, you know, almost 37 years old, I'm still trying to unlearn some internalized bad patterns and behavior with kind of my own approach to myself as it relates to how I'm interacting with the world. And so there was one moment, and it's from Maya, age 11, and she talks about gardening. And she talks about, and I'm going to summarize a little bit. I used to be very rough and aggressive with people and plants, but gardening has taught me to be more gentle. I was the sort of kid who ripped grass out of the ground for no reason. Now I've learned how to grow and be more gentle with plants. And I'll skip down. And she said, whenever I'm working the earth, I'm never mad or moody. I'm just in a calm, balanced place. It's so powerful. And I was thinking about this. I had this conversation the other day with my wife. And I was noticing on my hands that I have age spots that have started popping up. And I would say I have a very youthful face. And I look pretty good for being almost 37. But my hands look a lot older than my face looks. And I realize, I think it's starting to show how rough I've lived life and how hard I've been to myself and not kind of taken care. And a lot of that is a lot of past, you know, aggression issues or being very upset and not understanding how to deal with the earth. And so when I read this beautiful verbatim from Maya, who talks about the way she learned the gentleness was through gardening. I spent some time over the weekend and planted some stuff within our front yard and did a lot of laying out mulch and just being very present and intentional and gentle. And I found when I was done, I was in a new calm space that I've mm-hmm. never been in before. And it gave me something to start heading in the right direction. So Maya at 11 has figured out what it has taken me almost 37 years to figure out, and I love it, right? This is wonderful. So what is maybe a memory that you have of Maya and maybe that interaction and exchange?
You know, it's so funny. When I saw her quote, it surprised me because she, when I shot her, was so joyous and like just very enthusiastic. I was very surprised that she had this, like that there was any part of her that felt rough or in turmoil or anything like that. I was surprised by that. And also just like impressed by the depth of her, like the yes. depth of her, I don't know, like there's no way I would have recognized that when I was that
right.
age. No, right. And I was like, I don't know that I would recognize that now. I was just like, oh my goodness. Like she's like finding zen and like finding a outlet. And like what a lucky kid that she is at a school that has a garden, that she had this opportunity to figure that out and that it was encouraged. And that, I don't know, it just felt like a lot of stars aligned
yeah.
for a child to achieve, like, I don't know, open up to a potential that like we're saying, like you didn't figure out till this weekend. And
yeah.
I don't know that I would have, like, I just feel very thankful for where her place in the world, because that's a lesson that generally takes a very, very long time, if ever. And she's figured it out very early. And I just like what potential she has.
Yeah. This particular part about learning something about yourself was very present in my mind when I read about Zoe, age 10, who's the CEO of her own company, Beautiful Curly Me, which mm-hmm. has dolls with curly hair, right? And that look like her and look like so many other young girls who want to see themselves represented. And, you know, she talks about, I'm on a mission to empower the next generation of curly and confident girls that will change the world. And she goes on to talk about her company and the TEDx talk, and it's all wonderful and beautiful. And then at the end, this is what's been sticking with me for quite some time. She says, and while using your voice outwardly is powerful, self-affirmations are also so important. What you tell yourself is really what you believe about yourself. And mm-hmm. that gutted me with a capital G, because I realized that's part of the learned behavior that I've been trying to unlearn, is I feel very gentle and kind towards everyone around me. And I want to make sure that they're taken care of. I'm the caretaker of my family. I'm cooking. I'm making sure everybody feels taken care of and safe and secure. And then I'm turning to myself inwardly and not believing some of the same things and the same values, and being much too harsh and not kind to myself. And that's where it starts manifesting outwardly eventually, is in those ways. So what are some of your perspectives in talking with Zoe as well?
Oh my gosh. Zoe is, I just did a panel with her like last week. She's actually a student at my daughter's school. So I see her from time to time anyway. And it's funny. I was like, my husband was in the audience, and he was like, said to me after, he's like, do you think Zoe might take me on and be my life coach?
You know? For real.
And then I saw her mom and I was like, what are you doing? You need to teach a class. Like, this child in front of 150 people, she was at a panel with four other adults and was completely confident and well-spoken and measured. Mm. And like, I just, I, I don't know, but I'm like, I just want to take it in and marvel in it and appreciate it and celebrate it and learn from her. She's an old soul. Yep. And like a hundred, I don't know, just such an impressive, wonderful kid who really is trying to like create a space that she didn't have. She found, you know, she saw this hole and she wanted a doll that had curly hair like hers, and that her mom couldn't find it. Her mom came home with a doll with silky hair and it didn't look like hers. And so she was like, let's change that. And I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like she's going to be president or something someday.
Yes.
I
hope. Right.
I hope.
Yes, absolutely. The last verbatim I want to share, I'm going to tie it back into what I was talking about with my daughter playing baseball. But I'm going to read. It's from Kaya, age 15. And she talks about, in softball, succeeding 30 or 40% of the time at the plate is considered impressive. Sometimes you go to the plate and get a hit, and there are times you might pop up or ground out, might even strike out. But she talks about, the sport has taught me to recover quickly. You don't have time to get down on yourself for making a mistake. You recognize where you can make adjustments so that you are ready the next time you are presented with an opportunity to make an impact in the game. My daughter is somebody that, despite all of our parenting, is very down on herself anytime that she perceives she has failed at something, right? And that perceives being the key word, because often it's not a failure. It's a perception of a failure compared to somebody else's perception of success.
Right.
And we have worked with her on just building up the confidence and understanding, like, these things happen. It shows the learning and the growth, right? And it doesn't matter how many times we say it, it doesn't always resonate until we started baseball. And she was starting from scratch, right? Hadn't even really played catch before. And her first game, she struck out twice. And that was her takeaway, was I struck out. I didn't hit the ball. And the very first strikeout, she cried a lot. And I pulled her off to the side before she went to the dugout. And I spoke with her quite a bit. And I told her before we even started, I was like, look, I struck out anytime I play baseball, I pretty much always struck out, right? That's just, it happens, right? Statistically, it's going to happen. And after she struck out, I reminded her of that. And then I also said, this is your first time. You're not going to hit a home run and do all these things. I mean, maybe, but rarely, right?
Right, yeah.
But the game is not over. There's multiple responsibilities that we have in the game. This is one piece of it. Now, we take off our helmet, we get our glove, and we get ready to go back out there. And then the next time she struck out, there were some tears, but less. And the thing that I pointed out to her that she didn't even remember, the first time she was at bat, she struck out. The second time she was at bat, she hit the ball twice and had two foul balls and then got a strike on the third one. And then this last game, she got on base, got to third base through stealing bases and almost got a run and barely got tagged out.
Okay.
And so the conversation that we've had is, do you see the progress and the growth? Yeah. Nothing to something to almost scoring, right? Like boom, 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 three at bats. That's where you've gone and progressed. And so we recognize the mistake and we use it as an opportunity to learn. It's a new data point, right? Okay, I've learned, and now it's going to inform the next time I approach my next job. And so I think, I don't know if she's going to play in the Major League Baseball. I don't know if she's going to play baseball beyond the season, but it has taught her the ability to make a mistake and recover quickly, which is something that I don't think would have, no matter how many times talking, I don't think it would have resonated until she was in a situation where she had to adopt that mindset. So what is your perspective of interviewing Kaya?
Oh my gosh. Yes. That was great. But I do love I love so much of how much sports teach us, you know. Yes. Like there's so many like amazing lessons. You don't have to play in the college level. You don't have to play professionally to get that lesson that your daughter learned, that is a lifelong lesson. I remember I played college soccer, and I had played in every single, like, I think I had played in, I had never sat ever. Like I was a defender. In college up until I had a streak, I had played in every single game. Up until my senior year, first game of my senior year, we have a new coach and I sat the whole game.
Wow.
And it is honestly, it's one of the greatest regrets of my life is that I pouted on the bench. I pouted that whole season. I played some. I didn't play a ton, but I was on the bench angry, arms crossed. I wish someone had shaken me and said, talk to your coach, see what you can do. Like getting angry and being like upset about it is not getting you what you want.
Right.
So like work, that's like, and like, I feel like honestly, like even though it's a regret of mine, I have learned so much from the regret that I have of like, this isn't working out for me. I'm not going to pout. I'm going to work around it. Like I'm going to work through it. And I wish at the time I didn't need to like go through that to like, it's cause it's hard. And also like recognizing my role is not on the field this year. My role is on the sidelines this year. It's, and to do the best you can in whatever role you have and to be a good sport and to be a good teammate and I wasn't any of those things. But hopefully, you know, like, it's funny, I still have nightmares about it. Like, oh, no. And it's funny that the coach that I had, is still the coach where I played in college. And I've like since apologized. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was such a brat. He's like, yeah, no, you weren't the best. But it was like, I just didn't know how to act. I never not played. But I just think like that lesson has come with me my whole life.
Yeah.
And like, anytime I would ever see an inkling of it in one of my girls, regardless of like, I remember my daughter's a goalie in soccer and a goal came in and she yelled at one of her teammates because she thought it was her fault. And I was like, I don't ever want to see that happen again. I was like, you know, like everyone makes mistakes on this field and we don't ever, you know, like you can call her out during the game, be like, mark up, do this. But after the fact, mm-hmm. in a mean way, no, that's not, you know. So I feel like I'm like, learn from my mistake, you know, right. to be regretful of like treating people or like, you know, just not rising to the occasion, whatever that is, and knowing right. your role and celebrating your role and being enthusiastic in that role is for me like some of the hugest lessons I've learned from sport.
Absolutely. I have a strict no yelling at the team policy, right? Within my team, you can say, catch this, or I'm throwing it here, or like, why, like, mark, like you said, mark up, right? Like all those things, that's part of it. But we're not going to berate a team member, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to say, why did you throw it that way? What is wrong with you, right? These are things that are not constructive or helpful. And at the end of it, I tell all my kids every time I'm coaching, here's the things that we're going to do this season. We're going to learn a lot. We're going to have fun. And we're going to hopefully win some games. That's right. what I want you to take out of the season, if nothing else, right? And it's like, that's what it should be at this age.
Perspective, right? Yes.
Absolutely.
Like, the second you see that happening on the other team, you're always like, oh, we can win because they are breaking down, you know?
I'm going to wrap us up here in a moment. So I'm going to ask you two more questions. One, I'll close us out with the book discussion with this, and then I've got kind of a bonus question before we transition out. What is one overarching lesson you hope anybody who reads the book, regardless of whether they are a girl, a woman, a 30, almost 37-year-old man doing a lot of self-reflection, what is maybe one overarching goal you hope people or takeaway people have from the book?
I guess I would say it's that we're like powerful beyond what we believe, that the world especially tries to put women and girls in these categories with maybe low expectations, and that I like desperately do not want us to stifle our thoughts, our actions, our feelings to be accepted. The letting people see you for your full self is the best thing, you know. Enthusiasm is the best. It's funny, my girls will, there's like, they say like, they'll like try to, I don't know, be mean to somebody else by being like, oh, she's a tryhard. Like it's a bad thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, I was like, that's the best thing ever. Being right. a tryhard is the best. So just to know that, you know, that enthusiasm and like trying hard is great, and it gets you far.
That's awesome. All right, bonus question before we wrap up. I've got to talk about this because I am a huge soccer fan. I grew up going to the Cotton Bowl for the Dallas Burn back in the 1998. I said the 1998 as if I'm 85 years old myself. So I am a huge soccer fan. So when I saw that you got to work on the U.S. Women's National Team jersey release last year ahead of the World Cup, what was that? This is a selfish question. What was it like to get that gig and then also to get to work with that fabulous team?
It was amazing. It was actually such a cool job. They made this collective of like designers, like graphic designers, art producers, like a bunch of women that we all went to Chicago and came up with the look and feel of the World Cup. And so it was really very cool, and had the opportunity to like come up with like what I thought the photography style should be. And I was not expecting to shoot it. I thought we were just delivering them like a document, just like, these are the colors, these are the graphics, this is the fonts, this is the photography style. And then I got the call to actually shoot it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this, it was so cool. Cause you know, I'm a huge fan, played soccer my whole life. Right. My girls play soccer. And I loved it. I have a funny story about Megan Rapinoe, who I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah.
You're taking these photos, and I wasn't doing the full jersey. I was mostly doing like more like headshots, like trying to get personality. I was doing some black and whites. It was really cool. And there's a monitor right to my left, so they're seeing what's coming, what I'm shooting as it's coming in. And the light was off to one side, and I asked Megan Rapinoe, I was like, hey, can you turn towards the light so I can get a profile? And she was like, I think my other side's better. And I was like, okay, but she was like, whatever. And she turned that way. And then she looked at the monitor after I'd taken the picture, and she goes, I guess I have two good sides. I like cracking up. And I just loved the confidence. She was just like really willing to like have fun with it. You know, she gave me two middle fingers in one of the pictures, which I loved too. but it was great just to see the personalities and like they're just like teammates. Like in one shot, I forget who it was, but Trinity Rodman was like behind my shoulder making one of her teammates laugh. And they're just like, oh, I like your picture, like popping in on each other. It's just like, you know, they're buddies and friends and, you know, but also like such badasses as well. Yeah. I love it.
That's awesome. So thank you for sharing that. All right, we are going to transition to our last segment of the show before we wrap. It's called Things to Check Out. It's a segment where I provide a recommendation of something to read, watch, and or listen to, and I invite my guests to do the same. So I would say, and I'll go first, and I haven't said this enough in the show, but I will say, before you finish the episode, pause it. Go order Force of Nature wherever is convenient for you. We always love a good independent bookstore. You should go reach out to them. But again, wherever is most convenient for you, because Force of Nature is a book that you definitely need in your home. So beyond Force of Nature, let me give some recommendations of something to read, watch, and or listen to. So for reading, I'm actually going to recommend Megan Rapinoe's autobiography, because I love it so much and I cannot remember the name of it. So I'm going to do a quick Google search to remember what it is called. Google is not my friend today.
I forget too.
One Life. There it is. There it is. I usually have it readily available, and then I'm in the midst of redoing some of my bookshelves, so my soccer books are not immediately accessible. But yes, One Life by Megan Rapinoe. I highly recommend it. It also does a good job of charting the evolution of women's professional soccer from Megan's perspective, starting with the WUSA, and then we had now we're in the NWSL, and there's so many different acronyms, but what was before NWSL, after WUSA, she charts through that because she has some experience of playing in that league, and then, of course, the fabulous NWSL that we have today. And check that out. Something to listen to if you staying on the soccer theme. I did a show last year called 25 or 25, the story of the Miami Fusion. And then it is actually being rebranded. We're in the midst of the rebrand to Humans United FC, where we are highlighting different stories in soccer, the stories that need to be told. So the story of the Miami Fusion is retroactively season one, but we've got some incredible stories coming out in season two. Specifically, I did an interview with Kim Wyant, who was part of the 1985 U.S. Women's National Team, the first ever team. She was the starting goalkeeper in their first ever game. So she shares her perspective. She was also the first women's – she was the first coach – first female coach to coach a men's college soccer program in America. She's the current head coach of the NYU men's college program. So she talks a bit about that. So that's an episode you can look out for. And then Jaya, who she was the first transgender player to play in a World Cup qualifier for American Samoa. And her story is documented along with Thomas Rongan, who coached the American Samoa team in the 2014 documentary Next Goal Wins, which has been made into a feature film. So those are some of the interviews you can expect to see on this upcoming season of Humans United, coming out at the beginning of May. So you can check that out. And also the show Mrs. America on Hulu is a fabulous, fabulous show about the Equal Rights Amendment that was trying to be ratified back in the 70s and a lot of the discussion and discourse that went into that. And it's a good limited series on when it was released, and I think it's even more timely as we're continuing to come up on another general election later this year. So those are my recommendations. Kate, what's something for people to read, watch, and or listen to?
Okay, so read, I would say I love Des Linden's book. She's a she won the Boston Marathon. She's an amazing American marathon runner. It's called Choosing to Run, especially like Boston Marathon is coming up. So it like follows her historic win, which is super cool. It's like sort of threaded throughout the book, but also she's like so tough and very funny, very dry. Something to watch. Let's see, what am I watching? Oh, I love this show. It's called Loot. Loot. It's on Apple TV. It's with Maya Rudolph. It's very light. It's basically like her husband is Jeff Bezos, basically, and she is like Mackenzie Bezos. They're divorced. She has $87 billion, and she puts it all. She finally starts paying to this foundation that she's had forever, and like kind of doing good with her money, which is really, I just love it. It's also got like the best 90s hip hop soundtrack ever. It's so good.
That's awesome.
And then read, watch, and then what was the other one?
Listen to.
Oh, let me see what podcasts. I mean, I'm always listening to podcasts. This is like boring, but I really do like, I like a lot of running podcasts, but it's like my go-to is Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Yeah.
Love Conan. It's funny. I like it when I run. He's just so like, I crack up while I'm running. So I love that one. That's a good one.
That's awesome. Well, Kate, if people want to follow you and see what you're up to, what's the best way for them to do that?
I would say Instagram. Update that the most. I'm at Kate T. Parker on Instagram.
Perfect. All right. Well, Kate, thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing your perspective and putting out such a wonderful book. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Of course. Well, listeners, you've been detoxing with Detox. Now go and make a more inclusive world. If you know of an interesting person or story that needs to be told, please reach out to me at detoxpodcast@gmail.com. That's detalkspodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach out via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Detox Podcast, or visit detoxpodcast.com. Also, be sure to leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes if you like the show. It only takes a few seconds and it really helps us out. Link is in the show notes. Finally, thanks for listening. Please come back next week when we'll have another interesting conversation. And special thanks to my producers, Ben Lawant and Galan Aldaco. Without your help and support, this show wouldn't be possible. Thanks so much, guys.
Detox is a production of Vocal. For more information and more programming, please visit vocalnow.com. That's VOKALnow.com.